Now I'll read today's Bible passage. Today's passage is 2 Samuel chapter 14, verses 28 through 33. 2 Samuel chapter 14, verses 28 through 33. Today's title is David and Absalom, the difficulty in parent and child relationships. Now I'll read. Absalom lived 2 years in Jerusalem without seeing the king's face. Then Absalom sent for Joab in order to send him to the king, but Joab refused to come to him. So he sent him a second time, but he refused to come. Then he said to his servants, "Look, Joab's field is nice to mine, and he has barley there. Go and set it on fire." So Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Then Joab did go to Absalom's house, and he said to him, "Why have your servants set my field on fire?" Absalom said to Joab, "Look, I sent word to you and said, 'Come here so I can send you to the king and ask, why have I come from Geshur? It would be better for me if I were still there.' Now then, I want to see the king's face, and if I am guilty of anything, let him put me to death." So Joab went to the king and told him this. Then the king summoned Absalom, and he came in and bowed down with his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed him. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know, Lord, that you are reigning over not only the world that we can see, but also the world we can't see. You are the Creator God. We also know, Lord, that we are created to be people who in communion with you and to be people who depend on you. However, we have gone away from you in living in our lives in sin. Because of this, you sent Jesus to take our sin upon himself on the cross and to provide a way to restore the relationship with you. Lord, we ask that we can have a new and renewed relationship with you, and we worship you, Lord, for providing this possibility. We know that you love us and that you forgive us and that you have a plan for us for eternity. In this way, in the world that we live in today, there's all kinds of problems we face and things that we worry about. But we know, Lord, we can not have to lose sight of your love, and we don't have to waver in our faith, even though that there may be times when that happens. We ask, Lord, that you support us weak people through your word and that you speak to us today. Give us, Lord, the wisdom that we need, and give us the faith that we need, Lord. Please allow us to hear you and to be encouraged by your word as we listen to today. Strengthen us, Lord, and give us the hope to live. Please watch over Pastor Anjiki as he speaks today. We pray in your name. Amen. Hello, everyone. Today, we're going to be looking a little bit more at David's life from the passage that was read just a moment ago. About 10, 15 years ago or so, I went to India. And at that time, there was a church that I really wanted to go to, but I got lost trying to get there. So I asked a local person, "Do you know where this church is?" And that was like, "Yeah, I know where it is. It's over there." And he just told me exactly where to go. So I went exactly as he told me, but I ended up in this like graveyard instead. And then I thought, well, he's just making fun of me because I was a foreigner or something like that. But when I got back to Japan, I found out that this is something that Indians often do. When you ask somebody how to get somewhere, even they often tell you some interesting place to go. As for myself, I was like, man, that is so rude. However, from Indian perspective, it's totally different. from their perspective, if somebody is asking them something, even if they don't know what the answer is, to not respond is worse than not saying anything. So to be polite, they just respond by telling them something. So this is totally different from our frame of reference. They were doing this out of kindness to tell me a different place just to give me a response to my question. When I think of that, I can realize that sometimes when people have good intentions, they don't come across that way. In the Japanese culture as well, there are times when we sense this as well. For example, on a train, and if somebody gives an elderly person a seat, then some elderly people get upset because they don't think they're elderly, and they're like, I'm fine, I don't need to sit down. And then, like, I'm not that old. And so sometimes they get offended. As my mom, she's kind of like on the borderline where people might or might not give up a seat for someone like that. However, there's another opportunity when you'd say, oh, congratulations to a woman who is looking pregnant. And then all of a sudden she's like, actually, I just ate a lot recently. And this is something that comes up quite often. And this is something that is really inappropriate, but had a good intention to start with. Also, amongst human relationships as well, if you're closer to someone, the closer you are to someone, there are different times when things don't get communicated accurately, especially between man and wife. And this is a very difficult situation, especially among the relationships of parents and their children. Today, we're looking at how there's a difference in opinion of David and Absalom, a father and his son. Let's look a little bit at the background first. Last time, we were looking at David and his oldest son, Absalom, his daughter, Tamar, and how there was shameful treatment of her. And David didn't give appropriate judgment for what happened. And because of that, Absalom got upset and he was like, well, if my dad's not going to, the king's not going to do anything, then I'm going to get revenge. So he killed Amnon. According to the law of Moses, this would have been something prohibited. Absalom tried to get away from this judgment. And in verse 37, it said he fled to Talmai. And this was actually the place where his mom lived. His mom's name is Maacah. And so for a period of 3 years there, he lived there. David first was very angry about what Absalom had done, and Amnon as well. But over time, his heart changed. Looking at verse 39, it said, the spirit of the king longed to go to Absalom, for he was consoled concerning Amnon's death. So this is showing how he truly did want to go to him, and that his anger had gone away. And because Amnon was dead, then that gave peace to David. In light of this, David was then had a better attitude toward Absalom, who had run away. Absalom realized that his father had made correct judgments, and he took action in light of that. Today, we're looking at what happened next and learning from what David and Absalom did in today's passage. Thinking about the difficulty in parent and child relationships, and looking at three main points. The first point today is about the content of what we're looking at today first. It's about David and Absalom. At this time, David's heart was turned toward Absalom, and there was one of his men who noticed this. His name was Joab. Verse 1. Joab, son of Zeruiah, knew that the king's heart longed for Absalom. So in this way, he tried to provide an opportunity for them to renew their relationship. He used a woman and allowed her to try and put on a show, in a sense, for David. When she went before David, she was claiming something. She said, I have two sons. However, these two sons fought, and one killed the other. Around them, the people thought the one who should have been killed should have been put to death for that. However, if he was killed, then I wouldn't have any more sons, and there'd be no one to pass on the inheritance. So I want him to be pardoned. David heard the story and said, "Well, then I will pardon him." And then she said after that, "Well, but you didn't pardon Absalom, did you? And you're in the same situation. Shouldn't you pardon him?" David didn't realize that this was part of Joab's plan to get him reconnected with his son. So he decided, though, to pardon him. If you're looking at just this part of the story, it seems that this man was just worried about the relationship between David and his son. However, if you keep reading it, you can see that that really wasn't the case. He was trying to get them reconnected, but Joab also had a personal intent for this. Joab at one time actually had a brother who was killed in relationship to a grudge with General Abnel. There was a past instance that involved revenge, and that was what he was trying to reconcile. He realized that if Absalom had been pardoned, then he too would be pardoned for what he had done. And so that's why he used this woman from Tekoa to try to resolve this. He was trying to save himself, in a sense. And because of this, he actually wasn't really thinking too deeply about David and his son's relationship. We can find that out by reading more of the story. So now they are able to meet, but David doesn't take that opportunity. From a position of being pardoned, David could have met Absalom, but he decided to prohibit himself from doing that. He wasn't confident, probably, that he could interact well with his son again. After that, a period of 2 years passed. For Absalom, this was actually a total of 5 years he didn't meet his father, David. It was probably very difficult for him. He wasn't probably sure whether he was pardoned or not, forgiven or not, and so he was living, likely, in a very difficult situation. He wanted to find out and be reconciled with David. But how did Joab respond? In verse 29, it says, "Then Absalom sent for Joab in order to send him to the king, but Joab refused to come to him. So he sent a second time, but he refused to come." So it seems Joab just was ignoring what Absalom was calling for him twice. And so you can see how he really initially wasn't concerned about the relationship of David and Absalom. He was just more concerned about his own pardon. And if there was forgiveness, then he figured he was good. In light of this, Absalom was upset and did something terrible. He had fire set to Joab's field. He says, "Look, Joab's field is next to mine, and he has barley there. Go and set it on fire." So Absalom's servants set the field on fire. You can see how Absalom was a kind of a violent person in this way. And then Joab did get involved and was able to allow Absalom and David to meet after it had been a period of 5 years. That's what's mentioned in verse 33. So Joab went to the king and told him this. Then the king summoned Absalom, and he came in and bowed down with his face to the ground before the king. And the king kissed Absalom. Absalom came before David, and he bowed down, and then he kissed Absalom. If you were to add music to this kind of passage, what would you put? Something that was kind of like pretty, you know, heart throbbing or something? That's actually not the situation that it was at that time. It's likely you would have put some like disturbing discord sound. That would have been appropriate, because these two people's hearts were not actually wanting to be corrected. It was more of just a superficial ceremonial reconciliation instead. And then we know that because the plot of rebellion takes place thereafter. So that's what we're looking at today. The second point today is about the difficulty in parent and child relationships. David and Absalom were father and son, and let's think about that for just a moment. Were they really hateful of each other? Or did they just have like absolutely no love toward each other? No, I don't think that was the case. Absalom was, if Absalom really didn't like David, he would have just stayed with his mom and never come to David. But he did want to see his father. He wanted his father to accept him, and he wanted his sin to be correctly judged by his father. That's likely what he was intending to do. In today's passage, we see that Absalom's heart is something that is full of conflict, that is common just in the world in general. We can see that looking at verse 32, where it says, "Look, I sent a word to you and said, 'Come and see to you.'" If I'm guilty of anything, then put me to death. So he was just very open that he wanted to just call out for and be totally honest and live with what the result of it was. We can know that David was first very upset with Absalom for Amnon, the murder of Amnon, but he was able to get over that. David's most expressed love for Absalom was actually expressed when Absalom died. In Samuel, 2 Samuel 18:33, it says, "The king was shaken. He went over to the room, the gateway, and wept. And as he went, he said, 'Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son.'" You can see when you read it, it really does hurt your heart. Why in the world did he just show Absalom his love while he was still alive at an earlier time? You can see that they did love each other. David, as a father, loved his son. However, that love was something that he couldn't very well express. If you look at the book of Samuel, you can see how David never really was able to effectively express love to his children. He wasn't able to pronounce correct judgment over them as well. Why is it that David had such a difficult time in expressing his love to his children? One of the reasons was because of his sin with Bathsheba and committing adultery. Another cause that could have been a pain cause is that David himself, when he was a young boy, was not truly loved by his parents. If you look back over his life when David was young, Samuel the prophet came and told David, pouring oil on him, that he would be the next king. He would be the new king of Israel. And before Samuel, his father Esau would first brought all of his sons. At first, when he brought him, he didn't bring David, his youngest son. Why didn't he bring his youngest son? Well, there's various scholars that have different opinions on this, but for example, David was so young, probably about 10 years old at that time, he was may have been just too young to come before a prophet such as Samuel, so it's possibly that's why he wasn't asked to come. I have a son of the same age, so I can kind of have that a period thinking that I'd have my son go watch sheep instead of come before a prophet. However, there are some scholars who have a different theory on why David wasn't asked to come. And that's because that he was despised by his family. The scholar says this because thinking that possibly David had a different mother than his brothers did. Information on David's mother actually is not provided in the Bible. He's one of the greatest kings in the whole Bible, and there's no information about his mother. So it's possible that that information could have been disclosed or not known or kept silent. If you think about this theory, though, David would have been left out, of course, And that's also why his brothers would have been unable to have a good relationship with him. So that could have explained it. And that's possibly why he was despised by his family. From this situation, you can think about it and realize that when we're living here on the world, the closest form of God's love that we can feel here is the love from parents to their children. Children are to be loved unconditionally by their parents, and in being loved in that way, they can realize they have an amazing value. Over time, that experience allows them to be able to know and come to learn more about God. In this way, parents giving unconditional love to their children allows them to be able to notice that there really is a God who loves them in a much greater way. However, in the day we're living in, there's a lot of instances where human relationships, especially parent and child relationships, are completely broken. Or there's instances where parents don't know what to do with their children. They're not able to show their love to their children in a way that is as tangible. And one of the reasons for this is that their experience growing up themselves was not good, just as David's was. It's said that it's impossible or very difficult to do things for people if you haven't experienced it first yourself. So children who were not loved themselves don't know how to express such love to their own children in some cases. Parents raising children is also a time when their own weaknesses are expressed. When the children can't sleep well at night, parents themselves lose a lot of sleep over that. As for myself, I always remember one specific thing, and that's actually a Showa TV program where these policemen are like asking a suspect to confess something. And this suspect is just like about ready to fall asleep. He's so tired, and they keep turning on the light, trying to get him to confess up to sin. And then they get him to do so. And when I can't sleep, I always think about this. It's just the same thing. And I wasn't able to sleep well either. When you're in this kind of like hazy consciousness, and if you're not able to get enough sleep, it's kind of a time where you're not able to even like do mental math. You're just so tired. And many of you have actually raised children, and in the church there are a lot of people who today are wondering how is best to raise their children. It's a difficult thing to do, but when children get older, then there's other issues that come up as they progress in life. Parents already have their own issues, and then trying to raise children with their own difficulties and insecurities makes things difficult at times. And their negative legacy, and unfortunately, gets passed on to their children and grandchildren as well. In the present day, child abuse is a large social problem that we're facing. And there's a lot of data that expresses this and shows us this is true. Abusing children is actually something that is done mainly by people who were abused themselves as a child. And this chain of abuse just continues, unfortunately. There's a writer by the name of Philip Yancey, and he wrote about something that had happened to some of people that he knew in a book. There was one night when George, this guy, got extremely angry, and he told his wife, shouting at her I hate you, I can't stand it, and I just don't want to put up with this anymore. And he was pounding on the desk while he was doing this. A few months later, George, in the middle of the night, woke up all of a sudden, and his two-year-old daughter was saying something. He went quietly in the hallway to her room and stood in front of the door, and then he started to shake, And he shivered because he realized his 2-year-old's daughter was restating word for word the fight that he had had with his wife 2 months ago. I hate you. I don't want to be with you anymore. George realized that his anger was now possibly passing on to the next generation, and he was shocked. This is something that is unfortunately happening in many families. Let's look at the final points. It's the road to restoration. David was unable to receive love when he grew up as a young boy, and this impacted his life later on when he was a father. In the present day, this is also the case when many people who had unpleasant childhoods are now passing on their insecurities and faults to their children. However, those of us who believe in God have hope. That is because even if we do not or did not receive love from our parents, by loving God, our true Father, we can regain the ability to be able to express love in our family relationships and other relationships. In this way, we can show the true love to our children and have hope that this will come to pass. In the present day that we're living in, we can see things that David wasn't able to see for himself at that time because we're able to reflect on the cross. In today's passage, we can see how the people weren't intentionally doing this, but they were seeking out God's love as we do today. For example, Absalom, he set fire to Job's field and said in verse 32, I want to see the Lord's face, and if there was anything fault in me, I shall be put to death. So he's expressing his sin and wanting to be punished for it, and also the desire to know the king. And then when Absalom died, David he said, my son Absalom, if only and I had died instead of you. And this is showing us how we are headed for destruction without forgiveness of and love by God. We know that we can have such hope through Jesus Christ because he came and showed that in a form on the cross. On the cross, he took all of our sin upon himself and died in our place. He loved us so much that he was willing to give his life for us. To give your life, one's life for someone else is something unimaginable. And this is something that the same love is something that, in theory, all people should have experienced from their parents. However, even if that isn't or wasn't the case, we still can have hope for receiving and being able to give such love by knowing God. He can restore us. And when we receive that grace from God, we can have a restored relationship with our parents and our children and show them true and real love. We can have hope that this will come to pass. Let's remember that. I would like to share one testimony and then we'll close today. It's the testimony of Pastor Carl Tuttle. When he was young, he was abused by his father and lived a very difficult childhood. Thereafter, though he did become Christian, and from his experience, he was unable to, unfortunately, understand truly what God's love was for himself, though. He did get married and was given a son, Zachary. He loved his son, Zachary, but because his childhood was terrible, he was fearful that he would end up abusing his son and just didn't want that to happen. He was so upset about this that he went to be by himself for an entire day and just talked to God about it. He did so at a mountain and prayed to God and just told God, like, I want to know your love. He'd show me in a way I can understand. He prayed to him. However, praying for even one entire day, God didn't respond to him, so he just went back home disappointed. He saw his two-year-old son, or he wanted to see his two-year-old son who was sleeping, so he went into his room and he told him, "Zachary, I really love you. I won't be like how my father was toward you. I will never do such a thing to you. Regardless of what you do, I will never leave you." Suddenly at that time, though, he really felt that he was being like held tightly in God's arms. And he felt that God was telling him at that time, "You are my son. I love you more than you love Zachary." Through this experience, he was able to truly know God's love. And he was able to dispense of his concern of being able to pass on the bad legacy that he had experienced through child abuse as a child. Today, we've seen how David was weak in that he was unable to express love, and we too have various weaknesses. We are incomplete and broken. However, we have an unbearing hope, and we can have confidence in this hope through the cross. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be able to worship you today. Today we've looked at the life of David. We've seen how he himself had difficulty showing love to his own children as he hadn't experienced that himself as a child. We know that his example is actually that is reflective of many people in today's society. However, unlike David's era, we have the ability to know that there is truly hope for overcoming such a difficulty, knowing that Jesus Christ has provided a way for our sin to be forgiven and showed us just exactly what God's love is for us. He gave his life for us. That's how the extent of his love. When we receive that love, we can receive restoration and recreation in many ways, and we can break chains of terrible sin that is passed on to other generations. We thank you that we can learn that from today's passage. In the era we're living in, there's a lot of child abuse and other terrible things that are happening in the society. We know that the key to resolving those issues is by loving, knowing you, Lord, and knowing the Lord love you have expressed on the cross. We believe this, Lord, and we ask that in the various places you have us placed in the coming week that we'll be able to be people who share your love with others. We thank you for this opportunity, praying in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we'll have an opportunity to pray in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you in this coming week and forevermore. Amen.